We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Tuesday, October 1st, and I'm on a boat.
Yes, I'm on a boat. Rob's coming to you from a cruise.
Yeah, I'm somewhere just, I guess, south of Turks and Caicos, somewhere out there. We were just at Coco Cay yesterday. We are on our way to St. Thomas. Currently, we will pull in tomorrow about noonish, at which point my dad and I will be on a scuba diving trip. So looking forward to that.
Good stuff.
Yeah, so I'm Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie class of 14.
I'm May, fighting Texas Aggie class 2015, and I'm not coming to you from a boat, but I am coming to you from the precipice of World War III. So
yeah,
if you catch in the news, so that's interesting, but we don't talk about that kind of stuff on this podcast. But
no, but madness. I saw the initial tweets right before I hopped in about the missile strikes coming in from Iran, and oh boy.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Fortunately, but I'm not draft eligible at this point, so.
I don't think they want me back, so.
There.
But yeah, man, let's get into it. We'll get into our picks. Again, this may not be the longest one, just because I want Rob to be able to enjoy his vacation. I'm appreciative that he was able to take the time. And.
Uh-oh. May have lost you there for 1 second. And he's back. All right.
But other than that, we're just going to get into it. We're going to try and get into we'll get into our picks here in a second from last week. I haven't had a chance to look them over. I've been busy all morning. Not that, again, I'm ever complaining about being busy, but yeah, so how's the cruise so far?
It's been great. I've had excellent dinner the last couple of nights. We went and did the hibachi first night. It was outstanding. Our South Filipino server was outstanding. He was singing the whole time.
Nice.
Generous portions. And then we went to the Central Park restaurant over here on the 8th deck. And it's a nice little area. And we enjoyed that and had the veal last night. It was excellent. But yeah, we punched.
Who are you with? Like, what's the outfit?
So currently it is my parents, my buddy James. Originally it was supposed to be my little brother and his wife, but they are expecting a baby, and we just got the gender reveal last night, so that's exciting.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we'll wait on them to make all the posts before we go digging into all that, but it's exciting. It's gonna be fun. Everything else on this trip has been pretty solid. We went to Disney first. And may or may not have gotten myself a fun little Pizza Planet shirt, amongst a few other things. But yeah, no, it's been a great trip. Also, we built lightsabers because, well, when in Disney.
Because
me, yes. That's
fair.
Hey.
Well, and you were able to avoid the weather, right? I know that was going to be one concern with with that storm coming through the Gulf.
Yeah, we got lucky. We were able to fly out just a skosh earlier than we were planning, which ended up being the right move, because then all of a sudden, as soon as we got the thing flipped around, all of a sudden, they started canceling flights later on.
Oh, wow.
So we were able to squeeze in. And we squeezed in our flights early. And then, but I do want to say a quick, thoughts and prayers for all of our friends out there in North Carolina, Tennessee, South Carolina, all the areas affected by the flooding. It's been insanity.
Yeah, it's tough, man. That's really tough. Like you said, just praying for all those people and praying for all the people going to help too.
Yeah.
You know, that they stay safe and they're able to help them all out. But we'll get, we'll just kind of keep an eye on that stuff. I know I do. Just because haven't been stationed out there in North Carolina. You know, you get to know some local people as well, and even some soldiers that have family in North Carolina. So just really kind of keeping an eye on that stuff. So let's go ahead and jump into last weekend. Go ahead and give kind of a brief what you saw.
Okay.
Not good, bad. Just tell me, was the game what you expected it to be because it was in Jerry's world? And what did you like coming out of it?
Yeah, fair enough. I would say for myself, at this stage of the game, I thoroughly enjoyed seeing what we did defensively after what we have talked about previously with these big chunk plays being an issue, and we unfortunately had one of those right out the gate. But outside of those early chunk plays, the thing I really liked seeing from us defensively was really locking things down, made good in-game adjustments, held the rushing attack very, very tight, which was nice to see, especially with high-level rushers on that team. It was really good to see us make those moves. And as the game went on, found ways to make, opportunities to score, take advantage of mistakes. That was the big one for me. Takeaways on defense. You get three turnovers, which were so critical, which pretty much kept us in that game. And not to mention, I think the biggest one for me was our punter. Holy cow, you pinned those guys deep inside the 14. Like, you didn't have a
Yeah.
punt go, past the 14-yard line.
It shows you how big of a weapon it can really be. And obviously, you prefer never to punt, right? But I think it's so important. It's those little things, right? It's the little things in games that matter, especially when it's a tight game. And even though I thought, I wish we hadn't punted as many times as we did, you can't ask anything else out of them. I thought Nick Skorton had an amazing game. I thought he got hosed on Player of the Week honors, quite frankly.
Sure.
But I thought Skorton looked great. Just another wild one, wild one in Jerry's world. So glad to get out of there with a win. Glad that that series is over. Thrilled that it'll be back on campus next year.
As it should be.
I was really happy with the defense, especially on the running side, the ability to contain their quarterback, which was a concern because he's like a dude. He's fast, but he's big. So I was just I was really happy again. Chunk plays, man. I hope there will come a week where we don't say the word chunk play or the phrase chunk plays.
Fingers crossed,
It's
right?
just, oh man, it's brutal. I mean, again, and you can't take him out, but if you take him out, what's the game? So it's
Right.
at some point that's got to get shored up or it's gonna bite you. And this coming week is one where it can bite you,
Right. Well,
100%.
and you saw it early in that Arkansas game. I mean, you're picking on for the life of me, I'm bad with a lot of the names, but the kid who's filling in for Chappelle, who's out right for the season, and he gets picked on right out the gate, and it ends up being a long touchdown pass. And
Right.
Missouri's got great wide receivers, so that they recognize that on film, they're going to try to take advantage of that. So I think big stuff this week is going to be definitely containing those receivers.
Well, what's crazy is so Missouri's actually running the ball really well. They're running it well, particularly just right up the gut. Missouri's wide receivers are fantastic, but for some reason, Missouri, they're not producing. So, and I haven't watched a ton of Missouri tape, but generally, if they're not producing and against lesser talent, let's be honest, Missouri hasn't exactly played any sort of juggernaut schedule. They're either getting missed or they're not getting separation. I have a hard time thinking that they're not getting separation. So my thought is it's an accuracy thing right now with the quarterback. But again, if he dials that in, they're running free, right? And so I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. I think the real big key this week is going to be limiting the big plays. Generally, when you run between the tackles consistently, you're not always going to pop a big one. Like a big one between the tackles can be 12, 15 yards, right? I mean, Army does it, but an Army offense is a little bit different where the fullback dive is a featured kind of thing of it. Yeah, undefeated Army. Thank
I
you.
was about to say, I was going to say, Army and Navy both undefeated for the first time, 4-0 since 1945.
Heading for a clash, man.
It's going to be awesome.
Yes. But another thing about Missouri heading into this, we'll just go ahead and slide into this week's coming game. It is Missouri's first road game. We're almost halfway through the season. Missouri hasn't played a road game yet.
Yeah, and I mean, if you do look at the level of competition they have played, this is going to be the very first true test of, all right, what is Missouri for real? I mean, you're going on the road to an A&M team who is on a four-game winning streak. We've been, has it been perfect ball? Absolutely not. But we've seen improvements week over week in a lot of areas. Maybe seen some regressions in others, but we have continually found ways to win ball games against good
Well,
competition.
exactly. We've won. We've played a neutral site game, and we've been on the road at Florida, and we've played Notre Dame. We didn't beat Notre Dame, but we played that competition. All of a sudden, when you look at Missouri, and I think, preseason, there was a lot of hype around Missouri, and I thought it was deservedly so. I thought Missouri would look like they, Dinkle's got that program obviously going in the right direction,
No
and the
question.
talent, right? We knew the talent that we had that they had coming back. But then you look at who they played and what they've done, and it's been a bit underwhelming. If I were a Missouri fan, I'd be a little underwhelmed at this point. And maybe this is for them. We said, yeah, the Florida game, we're going to know a lot. The Arkansas game, we're going to know a lot. Well, I mean, we're going to know a lot more, I think, after we play Missouri. But I think this is really big for Missouri. Just, I mean, they're ninth in the country, and they're coming in as 2-point dogs.
Well, and yeah, so you're coming in as 2-point dogs. This is the only ranked matchup of the week. Ranked, we'll get into that,
Yeah, the picks were hard to decide on.
but I mean, you're sitting here with what's going to be a very, very interesting matchup for Missouri, because you know what A&M is bringing defensively, and at this stage of the game, that I think that's going to be the big clash. Is like, okay, Missouri offense versus our defense, and I think whoever wins that battle is going to be very, very. That's going to define how the rest of that game's going to go.
Well, the other clash on the other side of the ball is a little bit more specific. It's just our running against their running defense.
Right.
Because if you can't box up the run, it's not really going to matter. And I think we've shown that because it's not like Marcell Reed is going out for and throwing for 280 every week, but we're winning. And so it's the stuff on the ground, but it's also having to deal with Marcell Reed, which is an extra dynamic on the ground. I love this game. I like the line. So oddly enough, the books have us favored. ESPN, their model actually has Missouri. It's like 65% chance, or they win 65% of the simulations, however they run their numbers. And
The
so,
those have shifted. It's I think it's 51% right now to our like 48.8 or something like that.
oh, I looked it up yesterday. So yeah, as the weekend gets closer, those numbers always do tend to shift. Last I saw, the line was at 2. I may be wrong on that as well.
That's what I saw this morning too.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I hate to sit here and say, Vegas knows stuff because Vegas thought we were going to beat Bowling Green by 22 and a half. So, although at the same time,
We
Vegas
won.
may just put sucker and Ags into it. I mean, it's basically a pick 'em game. I wouldn't. So you're pretty much saying the Ags are going to win outright. I mean, I like this game for the Ags because I like where we are because you're a team that's learning how to win. And when you start stacking up wins, that has a positive effect on the team. It always will. It doesn't mean you're always going to keep winning, obviously. It doesn't mean that this game is a lock by any means, but I like where we're at. I like bringing Missouri in and to what will be a rejuvenated 12th man because we dropped Notre Dame and now we haven't dropped anything, right? So I think you'll have a great environment at Kyle, which
Even with the
generally it's
11
always.
o'clock, even with the 11 o'clock start, I think this is a big game and everybody knows it.
Even with the 11 o'clock, I think Ags understand this. The 12th man gets it. My daughter pulled tickets. She's ready, raring to go. So we'll get to the picks, but just kind of heading into this, I like the momentum. So, but we'll get into picks. Let me go over last week's picks real quick.
Sounds good. Let's get on with it.
So we picked Louisville at Notre Dame. Notre Dame was almost a touchdown favorite. We both picked Notre Dame. I thought that was an easy call.
We'll take it.
Yeah, Oklahoma State at Kansas State. Kansas State was 6-point home dogs, or excuse me, yeah, and I know this was the week that Oklahoma State was going to get it going, and of course, now I do my daily fantasy stuff, and Ollie Gordon finally gets it going because the number was dreadfully low because he hadn't done anything yet, but I still like, well, until they prove it, I'm not doing it. Of course, he goes off, but K-State was able to win the game. I believe it was 27-21. They didn't cover. But K-State won, so I got that one right. You picked OK State, so
Yeah, I've lost all faith in Oklahoma State at this stage of the game. I'm done picking them.
I thought they were legit Big 12 contenders, and they've almost played themselves out of it already.
Meanwhile, Iowa State's out here just cruising. Good for them.
Yeah, that's a game we're not going to pick, but I do want to talk about. Got OU at Auburn. I think we all saw this one, Ken. We both picked OU. I don't think that was a hard pick. I think Auburn is lost right now as a football team. And quite frankly, as long as they have Hugh Freeze at the helm, they can kiss my ass anyways. Okay, at Bama. So initially the game looks completely over by midway the second quarter, right? That's what it felt like. But Georgia, you know, punched back, so I'll give them that. I think probably the difference is honestly being in Tuscaloosa. I think that's what ended up edging the game out, just from an across the board kind of look at it. I think if this game is in Athens, then maybe Georgia ends up pulling it out, kind of thing.
Right.
Because they're still the dudes. Those are the two dudes, and it's everybody else until they're not.
Well, and I was saying, one of the things I posted there on X the other day, and I will stand by this. Like, this is the type of football game that if, like, a foreigner, somebody who's not aware of college football, whatever, if I was to introduce them to college football about how cool it could possibly be, I would show them that game because it had everything. Great crowd interaction. An awesome comeback, frankly, just a great dynamic from a fan standpoint, from a scoring standpoint, and the energy in the building was outstanding. That was
A
one of the...
freak show of a wide receiver.
Oh my God. And the kid's 17.
Yeah, no, trust me, the entire nation knows at this point.
Insanity.
That's like, hey, did you know he was roommates with Colton? Yeah, we know.
We're learning.
Yeah, right. And then the last one, Arkansas Ag. We both picked the Ag, so we both went 4-1. I'm 14-11 on the year. You're 13-12.
Hey, but above
So
500 at this point, I'll take
we're both this side of mediocrity, basically.
it. I'd rather be on that side than the other.
That's fair. So I want to go into the games this week. There's
Let's do
not a ton to pick from, quite frankly. But I tried to pick ones that I thought would maybe, before we get into it, I want to talk about that one game. Baylor's on the road at Iowa State.
Yeah.
Right? And Iowa State is, they're flying high. Yeah. This is the kind of weird game that Baylor hangs in. Like, for some reason, I've got a feeling Baylor's not going to win this game, but I think Baylor might go into Ames and scare Iowa State, because nobody should be respecting Baylor right now.
No, but
Right?
right.
Like,
And
should anybody be scared of their football team?
no, I wouldn't say
It's
so.
whether or not Iowa State, you know, it's whether or not Iowa State can stay focused. And I just feel like this is kind of one of those trap games for Iowa State, because they should have this in the bag all day. They're double digit favorites. So, but we're not picking that one anyways. I was just kind of curious about that game. I saw that game and I thought it might be exciting, but then again, they might go into Ames and get their absolute doors blown off by 50. So I don't know.
We'll definitely see what happens.
But
I mean, Iowa State's definitely one of those
you.
teams that, I mean, they're just a solid outfit right now, and they've been in the business of winning, and Baylor has not.
Well, and I think the one thing where I think that this line makes a ton of sense is Iowa State has always been a program that doesn't take people lightly, right? Because Iowa State's always on the other end of that. Iowa
Right.
State's the program that gets taken lightly. And so they
Right.
understand it. But it's just kind of one of those goofy games. It just feels like a trap for me for some reason. This would be one where I would pick Baylor to cover and nothing more.
Right.
But we're
And
not picking this game anyway, so thankfully I don't have to put a dollar on.
moving on.
But all right, so first game of the shoot is Michigan goes on the road to Washington. They got to play the Huskies. Washington is a 2-point favorite at home against Michigan, who apparently is not completely dead in the water. Sorry to use that phrase when you're on a boat.
Yeah, especially knowing history of
Personally,
people I've known on
I don't
boats.
care what Michigan did. I'm going to pick Washington. So you want me to start over with Michigan and Washington?
Yeah, sorry about that, y'all. We had a little bit of a technical difficulty. Basically, my internet is being goofy over here on the boat, naturally. We're gonna go ahead and restart from the top of the pick. So we are doing Michigan at Washington.
Correct. Yeah. So got Michigan going to Washington. I don't know if that's the first trip out there ever. I'm sure it's not, but I don't care what Michigan did. Michigan seems to have some sort of life to him. I don't care what Michigan did. I like the Huskies. I really like him at home. This is obviously just about as pick 'em of his game as you can get, but I'm actually going to go ahead and take UW.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and go Washington as well, if there are no other reason, just being a home game at this point. I think both teams are, I would like, obviously Michigan has looked better, but I also think that they're not necessarily the team people think they are. I think it'll be Washington. I'm with you on that.
Okay. Yeah, they beat Minnesota. What does that mean, right?
Not much, because Minnesota has not exactly been dominant.
No. Outside of college hockey, I don't think they've ever been dominant in anything.
Baseball for a while. They
Yeah.
don't. Yeah, surprisingly.
That's fair. Okay, so here's a random one. Syracuse traveling to UNLV. UNLV is a 6.5 point favorite at home. So I picked this one because I like it. When teams go from east to west, I think it's better off than when they go from west to east. I think there's been stats shown every year, year over year over year, and it mostly comes from the NFL side. But if you travel from west coast to east coast and you play an early time zone, like the percentage of you losing is much higher. It's crazy because they're professionals. But I like going east to west. Even though that's what Michigan's doing, I just don't trust them. The problems with UNLV and their quarterback quitting on them,
Yeah.
but then their backup quarterback goes out and plays good. I'm going to take UNLV to win this game because I think it's a great story for the backup quarterback to come in and then still play well. You're a 7 point favorite at home, so obviously Vegas likes them a decent amount. And again, Syracuse football, meh.
Yeah, I mean, I'll also pick a UNLV just because, I mean, yeah, it has been a little bit of turmoil in the program, but they've been playing solid. Everybody's been paying attention to that. And it's something about those, you go down and you're traveling as a one of those Power Five teams to a group of five, things get a little interesting. That's just part of the deal a lot of the time if those type of games happen. And it's a big game for UNLV. They're going to come out, they're going to show out. And yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that.
And yeah, it's just the momentum of them having switched to a backup quarterback. It's a feel-good story. They've got him at home. They're not having to travel to Northern New York or upstate New York. So yeah, I like UNLV here. SMU is going on the road to Louisville, and Louisville is a touchdown favorite. I picked this one because Louisville coming off the loss against Notre Dame, how much emotion did they have to use? Because it was close. I mean, it was a one touchdown game.
Yeah.
How much did that burn up Louisville to not be able to pull it off?
Right. And then on top of that, SMU has looked pretty darn good.
Yeah.
You
So
know?
does Louisville bounce back at home? And beat SMU? Is the Louisville crowd too much for SMU? I think there's a lot of factors in the game completely outside of the players that are gonna have a decent effect. So we got.
So this one's kind of tough for me just because, I mean, SMU has looked outstanding and they do like, they have embraced this role. Like, we are the growing program. We're coming into the ACC. We are,
Yeah.
like you said, they're embracing that. And I like the cockiness. I like what I've been seeing out of the program on that front. But on that exact same token, I like Louisville to bounce back. I do. I think they're going to come back and take care of business against SMU, maybe knock them down a peg or two off their perch. Then again, could be absolutely wrong, and I could see SMU winning that game, but I will pick Louisville.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time with Louisville, to be honest. I just I this is the game that you expect Louisville to win, you know? I think that they're quite at the level of Notre Dame, which I think is a completely fair statement to make. This is just one of those games, like SMU is really embracing kind of embracing that role, you know? Just to be different, I'll take SMU to go on the road.
Fair enough. Like I said,
And win, not just go on the road.
it's one of those that would not shock me.
Yeah.
Right.
So here's one that this is one I found the line to be wildly interesting. Miami is going all the way across the country to play at Cal, and Miami's a 10-point favorite in this game. I would have picked them to be like 17-point favorites. I'm not exactly sure what's going on because Cal sucks.
Yeah, I mean, Cal, first time they're hosting game day ever. And not to mention, you lost to this really, really bad Florida State team. You know?
Yeah. It's just I can't see Cal doing this. I kind of want to pick this one on the spread, just out of curiosity, though, since it's a nice open spread. So let's pick this one on the spread. Does
Okay.
Miami get to cover 10? And we'll just leave it at 10, no matter where it ends up.
Yes, I think Miami covers.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I think Miami covers. I really don't have any. I don't know a
Just
lot
don't
about.
see it.
That's like, I don't know a lot about Cal. Is it going to be an exciting game for them? Sure, but once again, how excited? How much energy can that crowd really bring?
No, Cal's terrible, man. There's just no way. There's just no way. I think
Don't
Miami
see it.
covers running away too, to be honest.
I don't think it's going to be any kind of problem.
All right, Ags Mizzou. Got him at Kyle Field, number 9 coming into town. Early kickoff, but it's early for both teams.
And I feel like that's more of a problem for the road team traditionally.
Yep. So I think Marcel Reed's under center again this week. I think Le'Veon Moss and Amari Daniels go for combined north of 150 if you combine both their running stats. I think, which means I think we get north of 200 running because you got to add in Marcel Reed and assume probably at least 70, right? The way he's
Hopefully, yeah.
running.
Hopefully.
So it just comes down to the ability to stop their explosive plays and hopefully connect on some of those deep passes that we've now seen that are open. They're open. You got to connect on them, right? But I said it. Teaching accuracy is damn near impossible. But I love the role the Ags are on. I think they're in a great spot for this to be the Mizzou weekend. The way everything's happened, the weather's going to be gorgeous. I think they're fired up. I think we're playing well. If we can avoid any sort of catastrophic, back to back, long bombs like when RG3 did that crap to us back in 2011 or whenever the hell it was, 12.
Yeah, it was horrible.
But yeah, I'm gonna take the Ags.
Yeah, I mean, it's an early kick. It is going to be a very interesting matchup. Of course, we talked about it a little while ago as far as like where the strengths and weaknesses of both teams are. I at this stage of the game, I like A&M to win this game. I like A&M to take care of business against Mizzou. At this point, really, Missouri hasn't shown me a lot. And yes, are they undefeated? Sure. They haven't played a lot of people. We've gone through the ringer a bit.
Yeah,
And you've had the goofy games. You've had the opportunity, you've had a couple of scares against teams that you should beat, and you did win. But those add to those learning experiences that we've talked about time and time again. I like to see us move forward into this Missouri game. Is it going to be perfect? Probably not. Is it going to be a win? I think so, yes.
it's the thing about Missouri, really, to me, is just that I don't know that they show me enough to be number nine in the country.
Not yet.
So I'll take them being number nine when they come into town because I think Kyle Field, despite it being 11 a.m., I think Kyle Field's going to be rocking and ready for this.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. So, all excitement.
So I'm going to bring up and one more thing that starts today and it starts here shortly, and that is Major League Baseball postseason. And here
Indeed.
come the Astros again.
Like always. Always find themselves nicely slotted in the playoffs every year. It's kind of a nice deal.
Well, and I love it. So they got the Tigers. I'm just gonna do a quick thing, and then we can do like a who you think's gonna win it all thing. So the Tigers got the Tigers in a 3-game series. This wild card round is just 3 games. The Tigers were 31 of 44 going down the stretch, something like that. Like they had an amazing closeout to the season to make the playoffs. No one on their team has any playoff experience. The Stros had since if you go all the way back to April 27th. Stros had the best record in the American League. I think they have the better rotation. You got home field advantage. I don't know that Tiger hitters can match kind of blow for blow with Astros hitters, especially being able to play at home. Personally, I like the Astros to win. I don't think they sweep the series, but I like them to win 2-1. And I think the Stros are going to end up in the American League Championship Series because until they don't, I'm going to say they will.
Fair.
As far as getting out of the American League and getting in the World Series, I don't know, man. And this is one of those things. The first round's so goofy with it not being 5 or 7 game series. I mean, I'm glad they're not seven because the playoffs have just gotten way too long.
Yeah.
But obviously, I'm going to be a homer. I'm going to pick my Stros to get through the Tigers. I think the Stros will make it to the American League Championship Series. I don't think that they're going to get to the World Series unless some key players on the offensive lineup can start producing again. And until Justin Verlander can be more than just still rehabbing from coming off the IL and out of the minor league rehab starts. So, but I'll take them to the ALCS because there's no reason not to.
Right.
And then but the Tigers are a team, they're young, and I think you'll see the Tigers in the playoffs for a good long bit. They may have the ability if they can make some moves within their rotation. I think they have the ability to kind of go on a run a little bit Astro-esque, maybe not quite as crazy, but I think the Tigers are there. They just they've arrived, but it's going to be short-lived this year. I mean, it wouldn't shock me for the Stros to win 2-0. It would shock me for the Tigers to win the series. It would.
Yeah. But that's AJ Hinch. He's back in the playoffs,
Yeah,
and granted on the other side, but he's there.
and he's managed their pitching well, so it'll be interesting to see how that works out. I I could see the Dodgers getting the World Series. I could see the Padres getting the World Series as far as coming out of the NL. I think the Padres are just banging on all cylinders. They've been so good. So I won't pick, you know what? I'll pick Yankees and Astros ALCS. And I don't know if it works in the bracket or not. I don't know if it can, but if it can, it'd be Padres and Dodgers in the NLCS. I haven't seen the brackets, but if it can work that way, it will. If not, I'd take the Padres over the Dodgers. I think the Padres are going to end up in the World Series just because the Dodgers are the Dodgers and I can't stand them.
That's fair. I mean, I wouldn't mind the Padres. Honestly, out of the NL, I would say Padres, potentially Phillies. I think those are like the two teams I'd like to see over the Dodgers for sure. And, just getting through the Yankees, that's gonna be the big one.
Yeah, nobody said we weren't homers on this.
No. Oh.
Yeah, I used about this much logic and the rest was emotion.
Yeah.
So
Well, that's Major League Baseball for me. I have a hard time really diving into the stats there. I understand it's such a deeply statistically based sport, and people love to analyze that stuff.
it's almost like too much.
Yeah,
So
he pitches this good on a waning crescent on
I
on
know.
this Tuesday of
I
this
hate that
month.
stuff so much. It's so dumb. But all right, we're gonna cut this short because we're gonna let Rob enjoy the rest of his trip and Strohs are getting ready to come on. And I still got work to do, unfortunately. But yeah, man, I hope you have a great rest of your trip. Absolutely. Have a safe time. And obviously he doesn't have any shows coming up this weekend, so we don't really have anything to talk about there.
Nope, just gonna be powering through the rest of this cruise. I'll get into what we're doing the week after when we get back. I should be back in town by Monday, Tuesday, in time to talk about Missouri results, getting into our bye week.
Where are you going to watch the game?
So there's a sports bar up on deck 6 that I am very much looking forward to go chilling out in because they have it set up, bunch of TVs. On Sunday when we hopped on the boat, NFL games are being played everywhere. Naturally, everybody's all NFL'd out. And I was like, oh, wait, that's right. There are just like NFL fans that are just everywhere and are
Yes.
very irreverent about their teams. And it's like,
Yes.
it's as a college first fan, it's one of those like, oh, yeah, y'all exist.
That's right. I forgot because Sundays, all the college fans do clean up around the house and get everything ready for the week. NFL fans are hammered by 9 a.m.
Oh, and I mean, there was some talk going on, because like you were talking fan bases from all over the country. We were reporting out of Miami, well, out of Port Canaveral. So you've got fans, yeah, Jaguars fans. You had Miami Dolphins, Tampa Bay, Falcons, Steelers, Eagles, Cow. I mean, you name it, everybody was on this boat. So many Packers fans too. It's insane.
Well, okay, yeah, I was just wondering if you were going to be on shore on a boat, but it sounds like you got the hookup.
We'll be on
And
the boat. There's a sports bar upstairs. We are looking forward to it. There's
you've confirmed that they're showing it.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we triple checked and they were like, yeah, we're gonna play these games on these networks. And we said,
Yeah, because otherwise I'll hop in the lifeboat and find the nearest island with cable.
I mean, we're gonna be hauling back. That's gonna be our second day. So basically the way our crew's set up, we had a ported out day one straight out of Port Canaveral. We were immediately at CocoCay on the first day. Normally it's like, you go out, then there's a sea day, then you go somewhere. Well,
Yeah.
we ported out, immediately hit land, and now we're on a sea day, St. Thomas, and then we're going to be at St. Martin the very next day. After those two, it's going to be 2 sea days all the way back up to Port Canaveral, and then we disembark, fly
So
back
it's just
home.
so it's a straight steam on the way back. Right on.
Great steam for 2 days, so we're going to just go ahead and on that Saturday go find ourselves a spot at noon, and
Yeah, there you go.
it's
Well,
rock
actually,
rock
probably 11 to make sure you find a spot.
right yeah, we'll get up there about 11:30 and get posted up ready for the game, and we check the menu. They got good food, so should be a lot of fun.
As long as they got drinks, who cares?
Lots of drinks. I've discovered that Bahama Mama plus edibles a great day.
Nice.
It's a Bill Engvall would approve. It's a good day.
Nice. I like it. All
So,
right, ma'am. Have a great rest of your trip.
yeah.
Obviously from the middle of the ocean and from here in College Station, beat the ever-loving hell out of Missouri. And again, If you can, there's plenty of avenues to donate to help with the recovery stuff in Carolina and kind of the whole coastal area there between Georgia, Kentucky, all of that stuff. So if you have the means, by all means, please do. It's so rough and so devastating out there. So otherwise, I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. And Rob, thank you for putting this together, even though you're on a boat.
I'm on a boat, so I am Rob White. This is Dwayne May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Thank you. Take care. Beat the ever living hell out of Mizzou.
Yeah.
Okay.